interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Backstage with Dan Diggs.
And indeed it is Backstage with Dan Diggs. How are you doing? So glad you're here. Welcome along to the show. Basically, we thought we'd get out of the studio a little bit, go to my favourite venues, and have a chat with artists backstage. That's why it's called Backstage with Dan Diggs for our first episode. We interviewed none other than Mr. James Lavelle. I tell you what, a personal hero of mine for sure, no question. And yeah, full disclaimer, this one was originally recorded way back in 2017. And we actually did it as a video. I teamed up with my good friend Joshua Woolen from California Electric. And we filmed the whole thing. So if you want to see the video of this, you can go to dandiggs.com and click on the TV button at the top there. But, you know, if you're more than happy with the audio, sit back, relax, and enjoy. We had a great chat with James. Had a chat about the new Uncle album, well, new at that time anyway, The Road Part 1. We also talked about Mo Wax, DJing around the world, and yeah, even a little bit of Phil Collins. I love it when the interview takes a little bit of a left turn like that. So yeah, Backstage with Dan Diggs, episode 1, recorded in 2017 in LA with the one and only Mr. James Lavelle. How you doing? It's Dan Diggs, and we are backstage with none other than Mr. James Lavelle. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you for
good. Yeah, I'm just excited for this new album because to me, having followed you from like since the early sort of Heads compilations of Mo Wax, how I got into Mo Wax, just like, getting into like, you know, introducing, and then Science Fiction that came out in '98, and having gone through like Never Neverland and War Stories, and Never Neverland being more of an electronic sort of thing, and then War Stories going a bit more rock.
Yeah.
Like, where does sort of The Road Part 1 fit into all this?
I think, you know, it's, I'm on my own now. So I've been through six marriages now, so I feel like Elizabeth Taylor or something. but I'm on my own and I'm enjoying that. And I think that what I wanted to do on this record was just, I just wanted to sort of make what I thought Uncle was.
Yeah.
And so, and also things that I hadn't necessarily been able to do or wanted to do in the past. And so there's a little bit of a foot back in when I first grew up, sort of sound system culture, you know, being influenced by bands like Massive Attack and such like. And then my relationship with LA and working with a lot of people here like Chris Goss and Twiggy and Troy from Queens and that's, you know, other people in that world. And a lot of new people that I work with in London coming, especially from doing Meltdown, when I curated Meltdown. I kind of, when I sat down and, you know, when I say I'm on my own, I, you know, I work with a great team of people and I started writing with a bunch of new blood, as it were. And, you know, to me it was like, I just want to make an Uncle record. I don't want to make an electronic record or a hip-hop record. I don't want it to be a kind of like, Uncle does this.
Right.
I just want it to be like, this is what I think Uncle is. So there was a lot of, you know, I wanted to go back to more of the orchestration of what we've done in the past. So a track like Looking for the Rain with Mark Lanegan has an ode to, you know, Rain Ian Brown or Lonely Soul. There was a bit of a sample element to it. You know, there's a bit of back going back to old soul records. It's a bit more multicultural. I'm losing my microphone here.
It's all right.
And yeah, but I just wanted it to feel like this is what I think Uncle is, and not to make a statement where it was about we're going to go and make this sort of departure into this new sound. So I think there's an element of all the records within this record.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. And I think the people that I've been working with also had that shared feeling. It's like, we don't need to make a concept record of something different. Let's just make an Uncle record.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it feels like that to me. It feels not only like a culmination of the sound you've been building, but also like a quintessential Uncle record. And I look at all the elements, like you're talking about orchestration. One of my favorite tracks on the record is Sunrise, comes around.
Yeah.
And you've got that beautiful bit in the middle where there's all these strings and everything else. Yeah. And like, to me, it's just like, wow, it definitely sounds like a London record. Because you've got this,
I mean, we did London, Somerset, then we did a bit in Venice, Berlin, Naples and LA.
Okay.
But it was really put together in London.
Yeah, you know? Well, there is that somber vibe, but also that sort of metropolitan vibe, London sort of,
That's what I was hoping to do, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it was very much about being in London and the multiculturalness, all the influences, and having these sort of other relationships that would then feeding into something that was London, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas War Stories was more like, we're in LA, we're making more of an LA record.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love how like you're working with, like you say, Mark Lanegan and sort of people that have definitely some history in music, but then also you're putting people on to people like Elliot Power or Eska. Is that something that like you're going forward with Mo Wax? I mean, talk to me about where Mo Wax is now and what you're going to
do. Well, Mo Wax is done.
Mo Wax is done?
Okay. I mean, I think, you know, I've thought about it a lot. I put out Elliot's record last year on Mo Wax. It was like a band. The band broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, like Factory Records, like certain things, it's probably better to leave it what it was.
Okay, you just want to preserve it.
Yeah. And we'll do, you know, there are things, whether it might be literature or other sort of associated projects around that legacy. But for me now, it's really about Uncle and what I'm doing with Uncle.
Talk to me about Jonas Berger, because he did the actual cover of that. Did you have any direction in that, or did he was just like, here
it's,
you go?
It's actually an old image.
Okay.
And the story is that when I met him 8 years ago. That was the first painting I ever saw. And this is just before he started to blow up.
Wow, okay.
And for those who don't know, he's a contemporary German painter who has become very internationally recognized lately.
Yeah.
The thing is that this sort of 7 year hiatus was as much about discovering who I was going to work with musically as well as visually.
Yeah.
And so I built this relationship with Jonas, and through him I met a lot of other artists that have collaborated on the record. And the image has just always been something that I wanted to work with, and very kindly he said yes, because he's quite protective about his work. You know?
Mm-hmm. And is there a story to that image?
He's got his story.
Yeah.
My story
what does
is,
it mean to you?
Well, it's a headless horseman, which is what I felt like for quite a while. It's a singular. it's a singular image.
Yeah.
Well,
it stays with you.
Yeah, and there's a skeleton and an old man and a young girl.
Right.
So to me, it's the road and this journey through life.
Yeah.
But that's my reinterpretation.
Right.
His might be very different.
I noticed it's called The Road Part One.
Yeah.
So part two, what can we expect from that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've always seen it as a trilogy, but I don't know, it might be like sort of Bob Dylan, The Never Ending Tour.
Yeah.
I quite like the title. It's just,
it's
basically about this, you know, there's various metaphors, but it can be the journey through life, and that can be, you know, up and down. But it's also this road that you're just traveling, picking up things and collaborating, and those culminate to become something, a record, a show, an experience. So it's just this kind of continuous journey, really, creative journey.
Talk to me more about the DJing side of things, because I know that you obviously had a prolific career DJing, did the first Fabric Live, which is a special mix for me, doing a lot of global underground stuff.
Yeah.
How are you with the DJing now? Is that something you still enjoy?
I do. You know? I'm just about to do this new show next week. Which is an Uncle AV show, which is a very sort of heavy visual, sort of strange experience where we're on with it. It's hard to explain, but you'll better see it online soon. But it's sort of DJing, but the next step up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in Ireland on Wednesday DJing. I'm in Zurich and Croatia next week DJing.
Doesn't end.
So I enjoy it. But I think that it's different from when I started, in the sense that it's become a very different business. It's also an age thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that I do like touring with a band.
Yeah.
It's a different thing, especially where you're with lots of people, and usually when you're DJing you're on your own and starting at 4 a.m.
Right.
Whereas
right.
a band you get to start at like 9 p.m.
Yeah. It's always funny.
God, I'm sounding old. I've done my time of 12-hour DJ sets starting at 7 a.m. finishing
right.
3 days later. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always a trip when you're walking into the club that's like being there for 12 hours.
But I think everything sort of feeds off each other. So
Well, one of the very first DJ mixes I heard from you, and I encourage people to check it out, is the Breeze Block mix you did for Marianne Hobbs, my favorite, which is going way back. But it was like some red, like, you know, the Eugene McDaniels, Jagger the Dagger cut, even a lot of like science fiction stuff, and like Beastie Boys deep cut, some Air from back in the day, too.
I've heard that in 20 years.
It's floating around, but it's and finished with Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, right,
But yeah, big fan of the whole DJ thing as well, so I'm glad that's still.
I'm just spinning plates as usual.
Yeah. Wondering as well, I mean, everything that I've seen, you know, since its inception of No Wax has always been this very highly curated aspect to everything, like the art has always been on point, the visuals and everything else. I'm curious to know, and obviously you have, you know, unimpeachably great taste, but is there a point where James Lavelle listens to something that's like just a guilty pleasure?
Of course, man. I went to see Phil Collins last
you
week.
You did?
Or the other week. Of course, you know.
You saw Phil?
I went to see Phil Collins. Yeah.
And, How was that?
It was good. I think the star of the show was his son. I'm sure he's going to do very well after being 16 and doing In the Air Tonight. But we all have our guilty pleasures. Fleetwood Mac's another one. But
yeah.
I'll say no more.
James, thanks so much, man.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. James for the awesome interview. Go and follow him at Uncle Official on Twitter and Instagram. If you like what you heard, definitely head over to mixcloud.com/dandigs or search for Dan Diggs wherever you get your podcasts for more episodes of Backstage with Dan Diggs. Reach out to me at Dan Diggs on Instagram or Twitter and everywhere else. It'd be great to hear from you. Let me know where you're listening from. And yeah, I'll catch you very soon. Thanks for listening. Have a great one. Oh,